webcasting to the world.
Do you remember the moment that you saw yourself in God and God in you, and you were one with the universe and God and everybody?
Knowing the truth about the gospel.
You were one with the prostitutes and pimps and priests and kings, and there was nobody on earth that was better than you nor less than you.
That we are all righteous.
And no one on earth was any less in Christ than anyone else.
That's Mike Williams, and this is the Gospel Revolution. And now, here's Glenn Klein online.
Greetings, you beautiful humans. This is Glenn Klein online. It is Hump Day, Wednesday, December 1st, 2010. The only first day of December, first night of Hanukkah, and the first night of the Gospel Revolution Fall Pledge Drive 2/10 in history. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Glad to have you with us. For those that are logging on live around the globe, obviously a few minutes late, technical challenges, but we think everything is okay now. Is this accurate, Sean? Are we online? Are we uplinking? Are we downloading? Are we webcasting? Are we recording? I'm going to assume that silence means yes.
The sound quality is really, really bad.
can you hear me okay, Michael?
I hear you, but it's crackling and breaking up really bad.
You sound fine to me.
Oh, well, of course.
Has it cleared up yet? Because I got a little crackling at the start, and you sound fine right now.
All right, now you are not crackling.
All right, and Sean said it would be okay in a second. So we have full confidence in the engineer, producer, and call screener extraordinaire, Sean O'Halloran, back from St. Louis after his Thanksgiving jaunt. And now, without any further ado, let us properly introduce the president and founder of Gospel Revolution, Michael Williams. Michael!
Well, hello, Glenn. It's nice to speak to you tonight.
It's nice to be spoken to. Well, we are launching off, ladies and gentlemen, into night number one of the Fall Pledge Drive. And even though it may not seem like autumn wherever you are, we still have 21 days left to fall, and we're going to take full advantage of it as we endeavor to take care of some financial needs and to share the gospel over these next 3 weeks and then 90 minutes specifically. We are advertising this webcast as the Gospel Revolution Marathon on the Facebook, but really, last week was the marathon, Michael. The email extravaganza went 2 hours.
Yeah.
So this will seem like a piece of cake.
Oh, this is child's play.
Indeed. Even though we put the childish things aside under the admonition of Paul, this is child's play as far as radio is concerned. So we are glad to have you folks with us. We've got new email questions. We're going to be taking your calls and pledges at 1-800-436-3260. We have some good news to report right from the get-go. But before we get into the pledge drive full force, we will take your calls, of course. Sean is waiting to take your calls in the studio at 1-800-436-3260. So do not hesitate to get on the phone and call with a question and hopefully a pledge and most hopefully a monthly contribution. We'll be talking about why that's so important as the webcast rolls on. But I would be remiss not to mention an incident that happened this last weekend here in the good U.S. of A. And that is a National Football League player. And of all the sports, at least in the United States, and I would say given that this is the most religious Christian country on the face of the earth, is probably true of any so-called Christian influenced nation. that the National Football League, Michael, has more confessing or professing Christians than any other pro sport. Why that is, it might be just the fact that there are more football players. But for whatever reason, there's no doubt there's a heavier Christian influence in professional football than there is in any other professional sport. And I don't have it in front of me on the screen, but there is a player for the Buffalo Bills that dropped what would have been a winning touchdown pass in their game this last Sunday against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he tweeted to the people that follow him on Twitter that he was blaming God. And, you know, obviously when good things happen to athletes or to human beings in general, oftentimes they give credit to God. They call things a miracle that aren't a miracle, or they think that God had his hand on a situation, or they're very thankful to God. And, of course, that always begs the question, you know, well, what happens to the people that lost the game or that good things didn't happen to, or that died in the car accident or didn't get healed from their cancer or disease? But this guy was honest. Now, we know, given our own experience and the experience and logic we dictate, that, of course, if you're going to credit somebody with helping you, it would be logical to, when it doesn't happen for you, to blame God. But nobody will ever admit it in public. But this guy did. And how refreshing it was to, at the very least, see that kind of honesty.
Yeah, for sure. You were saying, you know, what happens to the person that it doesn't happen for? Well, now we know. He gave us a little look inside the hearts of people who aspire to the cause and effect religion. And you cannot help, if you're going to embrace the side of God blessing you and helping you and intervening and taking over, taking control and getting that touchdown and avoiding that wreck, and just by a hair you avoided the wreck. Well, if just by a hair you were in the wreck, you know, this guy, as they were saying, was flipping God off, you know. So
I brought it up here. This is Stevie Johnson, is a wide receiver with the Buffalo Bills. This is what he tweeted after the game. He said, "I praise you 24/7, and this how you do me? You expect me to learn from this? How? I'll never forget this ever. Thanks though." That was
thanks though,
Stevie. Stevie Johnson, man. He says, "This is how you do me."
Yeah.
He dropped a perfectly easy pass.
Yeah.
In the end zone, that would have been a huge upset for his team, and it was just it was classic. So I mean,
talk about Christianity teaching you how to avoid and not take right responsibility. This is classic. There's so many lessons to be learned in his little tirade here. I mean, it's funny, but actually when you begin to take it apart, it really is quite a glimpse into the mind of the evangelical Christian. The anger that is just under the surface, the fear, number one, he was really torqued off at God, and he couldn't just stay torqued off. It's almost like walking away from the emperor who has the ability to have your head sliced off. You know, I'm going to be brave enough to tell you I don't like this, but thank you anyway. You know, I got to throw my thanks in there because I know you could also wipe me out. If you could make me miss that pass, you could also send a bolt of lightning, so I have to give my token thank you anyway.
Right,
at the end.
Right, exactly.
There's just so much in this. There's so much in it. I think that it's easy to see because I lived it so well. I did well at this, and I didn't do well at it, but I did well at doing it because it did not do me well. as it is not serving this young man very well either in the NFL, obviously.
Well, we just would hope that somebody would slip Stevie Johnson a Gospel Revolution CD at some point. And
absolutely.
That segues nicely into a main focus. I don't say the main focus. You know, the gospel is the main focus, especially during the pledge drives. The whole purpose of us asking for you guys to donate to this thing is so that the Stevie Johnsons of the world that are clearly being tormented by the lunacy of evangelicalism can get some help, can get saved, Michael, if you will.
Oh, absolutely. Talk about a man demonstrating a desperate need for salvation. He praises 24/7, but he does it for a reason, obviously. He does it for rewards. He does it for protection. He does it for God intervening. He does it for supply and finances. It's obvious the reasons he praises. Now, he would say opposite, but when you cite the fact that you praise 24/7 and this is how you get repaid, the mindset is, regardless of how you want to spin it afterwards, has already been very well stated. So, yeah, a good dose of salvation would be in order for this young man who praises 24/7. Now, you would not think that we would need to be talking about salvation for someone who praises God, as he says, 24/7. But his comments are glaringly crying out for salvation from the God he says he praises 24/7. He just doesn't know what to praise him for yet.
Well, and plus, there's no way that he praises him 24/7.
It's not possible.
It's not possible. Nobody does that. Nobody could do that. It just kind of reminds me of what I was going to say. It reminds me of Paul's admonition to pray without ceasing.
Yeah.
What could that mean? What could Paul have meant? Because obviously it is not possible, no matter how one would interpret a petition or a supplication or a prayer of thanksgiving. You can't pray 24/7. You can't pray without ceasing. Is that possible?
No, and the only thing that I could rely on at that point is that Paul's understanding of prayer was it transitioning from something that you do to a state of being. Virtually everything from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant has translated from a what you do to a what you are. We are a praise unto God. We are a prayer unto God. It's just our existence. And the fact that what God sees and what God hears just by observing us, he sees prayer and praise. And it is 24/7, and that is without me actively participating in this, because we're in a covenant now that has nothing to do with the performance before God, or God even acknowledging our performance before him, to the good, the bad, or the indifferent. We're in a covenant now that because of Jesus, because of God the Father and the Son making a covenant, we're in a covenant that places us in a state of being in the eyes of God that has nothing to do with our performance, including praise. We are a praise unto God. We are a constant praise unto him by our existence, not by our performance. And because all of the reasons for praise in the under the Old Covenant was to bring the presence of God closer to mankind. And that's what he said, that God inhabits the praises of his people. Well, that is no longer true. God does not inhabit the praises of his people. God inhabits his people.
Yes.
Therefore, we have become a constant state of praise. The combination of God and man becoming one is a constant state of praise in the presence of God.
So I wonder, in context, if you looked at that quote from Paul, if one could glean that from that statement.
Glean
about,
that from that? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think gleaning that from that is a real possibility. The one thing we know about Paul's teaching is that it is very, very consistent about us coming from a state of performance to a state of being, for sure. In all things that I know that that Paul taught about pertaining to the gospel, the fact of it is that all of everything that was a thing in the old covenant became a who under the new covenant, which is Christ.
Yes.
And he is our prayer, he is our praise, he is our righteousness, he's our holiness. Jesus truly is our everything that has been presented to God. Could it be that Jesus is every prayer that I would ever need to pray, every praise that I would need to praise, that he is the very essence of praise in the presence of God, which we are now one with? I think it's worth more than a little nod.
Yeah, so we're going to get into the whole issue of prayer as this pledge drive and the webcast rolls on, ladies and gentlemen. But we're already about 20 minutes into this thing, and we haven't even gotten into the specifics of the Fall Pledge Drive 2010. And we haven't gotten our first call yet, which we need to hear from you tonight at 1-800-436-3260. 1-800-436-3260. So we come to you folks once a quarter, and we put aside basically 30 minutes a week during these 21 days to talk specifically about the financial picture of the ministry, about what the needs are, about what our heart's desires are. And we probably don't even talk for 30 minutes about it. I've never really broken it down. Because we extend the webcast to 90 minutes, knowing that we're going to deal specifically with requesting your help, with acknowledging your help, with talking about the thank you gifts that you get. But before we get into that, Michael, several weeks ago when we talked about this interesting past months that you've had with really intense challenges that found you really in a place of peace and rest, as you said, through the stealthiness of the gospel. One of the issues were the finances. And the fact is, to cut to the chase, folks, is that when the economy took a dump at the end of 2008 into 2009, Michael, everybody, pretty much worldwide, was affected by that, including us and the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries. And the reality is that we lost about 3% of our monthly support. There's not a heck of a lot of people or organizations or businesses that can absorb a 40% hit and keep on plugging. But we have kept on plugging, and at the time, you said that, one of the challenges that you are facing is possibly having to move out of your house. And so that's what we're looking at right now. We are needing out of this pledge drive, what our goal is, folks, is to recoup at least an additional $2,800 a month in monthly contributions. And you go, well, wow, that doesn't sound like a lot. I know it doesn't sound like a lot, but to us, it's a lot. Michael, $2,800 over 12 months, I mean, that's significant. That's, it's almost $36,000. And that is really, really significant. And so basically what we're asking people to do is to see if they can make a pledge of $5 a month or $10 a month or $20 a month, whatever they can do, so that we can get back a little bit on a stable footing regarding the finances.
Yeah, absolutely. And let me make this really clear about the issue of course the healthiness of the ministry financially. Of course, very much directly affects me, and the thing that I want people to understand is that this is a decision that I've already made. We're not making an appeal for the Save the Mics House Club. That's not what we're doing. I would never do that, and everybody out there knows me at all knows that I would. I just would not go there. What I did is took the circumstances that we are facing and my own personal situation, and I've already made the decision to downsize and to go back to apartment living, where I can cut some monthly expenses. That's just where we are now. If the ministry becomes really healthy again, you know, maybe I'll really enjoy where I'm staying. I don't know, but you've got to understand, coming from my heart, this is not a if you don't give, Mike's going to lose his home. That is not what I am saying. The only reason that it's being brought up is because it is the finances. We did lose 40% of our monthly support, and those are the ones that is that's what sustains the ability to make a budget and to function the ministry on a monthly basis, a weekly and a monthly basis. Now the extra that we get when we do the pledge drives always floats the boat a little bit better and carries us through. But that, as we've explained, that begins to decrease over the 4 months until we need another pledge drive. But this time, you know, we're just not making it off the bottom of the river right now. So this is, like I said, this is something I have decided to do. This is something I'm going to do. And because we're just in a situation where it warrants that, and like I said, even in my own personal life, I think it's a good move. Actually, I'm not looking at this move as a great loss to me. There's many things about this that I will enjoy. So,
the point is, the point is, folks, is that we need your help to consider monthly giving, and we're gonna get into the specifics. But waiting online with us is our dear friend Pastor Ted from Decatur, Alabama. So let's kick this thing off in a right way, going to Sweet Home, Alabama. Pastor Ted.
Good evening.
How are you?
Hey, Ted.
I am blessed and highly favored.
Indeed.
You
with
are.
God and man, or at least God and my wife. How are you fellows doing?
We have no complaints, Ted. We're just happy to have you with us.
Well, glad to be here. Yeah, I had a question that has, you know, comes up every time you're in a crowd. Out of 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And there is not a period at the end of that sentence. It's a colon. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world, which Scofield defines as mankind. So, I was just curious about the old adversary, the devil. I have my own opinions, but it's brought up at all the time. I'd just like to hear what you think.
All right, Ted. Sure do appreciate the question.
Okay, and I'm going to hang up and listen.
But you want,
all right, thank you,
want to give
you so
some
much.
You want to give some money, Ted, to the pledge drive?
You already got it.
You
already
got it.
Oh, good.
Yeah, you've already got it.
Well,
one other thing, though, that I'm going to throw this in. I've talked to two or three former pastors that listen to the broadcast.
Yeah.
And in my opinion, if you were ever a pastor, you don't quit pastoring.
Mm-hmm.
I would like to encourage them to, even if it's just a house church like we started, two or three couples, one couple, don't quit. Keep it going. So that's what I'd like to say to them.
Awesome.
Well, appreciate
Ted,
and I'm glad I brought it up because it made me go to the list of our givers, and you are indeed on that list that Jeff has forwarded to me. So as always, the Pastor Ask segment brought to you by Pastor Ted. So.
And let me encourage the people in the Decatur, North Alabama area, get online, make the pledge. And I'll talk to you fellas later.
Thanks, Ted. All right,
we're
going to deal with the devil once and for all.
Thank you.
All right, Mikey. So what about, as Ted said, our old adversary? I think that's a good way of putting it, too, the old adversary.
Yeah. Of course, first off, what I always have to do is put this in context. We are not dealing with Scripture here when we read this. However, it does warrant our attention and to see if there's something we can glean from it, from the writers of these letters. So first off, we're not dealing with Scripture. Secondly, we have to look at what the conclusion of the work of the cross is about the devil, the roaring lion, all of those things. We have to conclude that Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. And my inclination is to believe that the works of the devil have been destroyed. That leaves us with the possibility that a devil still exists, then what would his goal be? If he is going about as a roaring lion, and that we have to stand fast in the faith to be able to resist him. My understanding from Paul's teaching is that we'd be standing fast in the faith of the Son of God, not in our own faith, but standing fast in that faith, as Paul taught in Galatians, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. So you'd be standing in your liberty, standing in faith. The interesting thing, one of the other interesting things about this that Peter says is that what is happening is happening to the entire human race. So he's encouraging them in a bit of a way here that the things that are happening to them is happening to everybody else. So it seems to be a fairly uniform persistence if we're dealing with the devil. And then what we'd have to ask ourselves is, what would the devil's number one goal? Let's say that even though defeated, there is a devil. What would the devil's goal be in this new creation? What would his number one goal be? When he tempted Adam, it was to tempt Adam to not believe, not accept that he was already in the image of God, and tempting him to do something, to become something he already was. We know that when he had his personal visit and temptation, after Jesus was baptized, after he heard the voice of the Father give his approval, the Holy Spirit found absolute need that this be tested immediately, as if it were. And because here was a man standing on earth that had God's full approval. And it was the Holy Spirit that wanted this to be tested. This was not the devil that wanted it to be tested. It says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, Spirit of God, took him into the wilderness. I think one translation actually says drove him into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So the temptation that Jesus went through was a work that originated from the Holy Spirit. The temptation, the arrangement for the temptation didn't take place by the devil. Okay. Now, the reason that the Holy Spirit wanted this to be tested immediately is because there had never been a man on earth with God's full approval before. Never had been. Never had been a man on earth with God's full approval. You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. So, for some reason, this, where, quote, the devil is concerned, is the essence of his work. So he was tempted, and of course we know that the temptation was, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God, if you're the Son of God. So we know that the temptation was to try to get him to perform to be what he already was. I think it would not be a leap at all. In fact, I think it'd be very consistent to say that here was a man born of the Spirit, therefore was not under the law. So what was the devil trying to do to Jesus? I believe the devil was trying to put him under the law. Because even if a man, now this is very important, even if a man is born of God, if he don't know it, he doesn't have the power of that on his side. It's knowing it and understanding it that gives benefit to that person.
All right, wait, Michael. I got to go back for a second because I hear what you're saying, but you just said that the devil was trying to put Jesus under the law.
Yes.
Did Jesus not live under the law?
Jesus existed under the law, but that which is born of the Spirit is not under the law. Jesus was not subject to the law. In other words, even though the law was in place, Jesus breaking or not breaking the law had nothing to do with his relationship with God. That had nothing to do with it whatsoever. But he was attempting to get Jesus in the mindset of a man under the law. Jesus was born
right.
as he
did with Adam. What a perfect picture of here the devil basically doing the same thing that he did to Adam and Eve in the garden.
Oh,
the first man, the first Adam, and now he's doing it again. And where it worked with Adam, it did not work with Jesus because Jesus was born of God. And
right.
As you said, it's not good enough. For eternity, it's good enough. But from a practical standpoint and for our lives on the planet and the way that we think and the way that we relate and the way that we emote and the way that we understand God's view and opinion of us, it's not good enough just to be born of God if we don't think we are or if we can be tricked by legalism to think that we're not.
Absolutely. So here we have this pattern of man's inner relationship with the devil all the way from the first Adam to the last Adam. And, you know, you really can see that man chose to succumb to being under a law. What is a law? A law is to try to perform, to do something, to be something in the eyes of God. And it's almost as though I could see this as God saying, okay, you want a relationship with me based on law, then I will be the one who determines what those laws are. Because God wanted to free man from the bondage that he had bit into, if you will. He wanted to free him from it, but the only way he could do it is choke him on the apple also. If you're going to take a bite, here's the whole thing down your throat. Now swallow that. But it was for man's benefit to show him that you cannot relate to God based on performance, because here are the things that it would relate to. Every intricacy of your life is tied up, every moment, every thought is tied up in rules and regulations if you continue in the mindset that you bought into in the Garden of Eden. Now, the amazing thing is that God had a perfectly wonderful plan, though, not just to restore man back to being in the image of God, because I don't believe we're in the image of God anymore. What he did is, and this is what the devil was fighting against. He already had one man that was one with God. He and God were one. And any way that he could stop that, what would stop that process from God making everybody one? Well, he couldn't stop Jesus from being who he was. Obviously, it didn't make any difference whether he would have succumbed to temptation or not. His favor with God was not based on any law, because he was not born of the flesh. He was born of the Spirit. And it is the flesh that relates to the law. It's the very same reason, that Jesus could not have been under the law on this planet is the same reason we cannot be under the law now. We are born of the Spirit. The entire planet was born of the Spirit. So, what would the devil be doing if he is in doing anything? Well, I don't think he would go out of character all of a sudden as a roaring lion going around trying to give people cancer, trying to take away their finances. I think he would probably do if we had... See, we have two places where Satan showed up and did his thing. He did it with the first Adam and the last Adam. He didn't show up at the first Adam and say, oh, I'm going to make you sick. Oh, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. He didn't show up at the last Adam and say, oh, I'm going to take away all your money. You know, I'm going to take away your supporters. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. His whole issue was to get man to relate to God based on performance. So, is there an actual devil? I don't know, but I know there's a devil of a plan out there to try to get people to succumb to such thinking, and I have to tell you that it comes from every pulpit of Christianity around this planet every Sunday. The temptation of the devil, if there is an individual creature such as he, the temptation, the wandering around about roaring as a lion. What does a lion roar for? I never will forget one of Tammy Faye Baker's. I have to tell you, I got a lot out of Tammy Faye Baker's teaching that she did and wrote a book called Run Toward the Roar. And she did a study. She was a very fearful woman, and she read about this roaring lion, and she did a personal study about a roaring lion. And what she came up with was that the roaring lion is the one that's the old lion in the jungle, and all he's got is the deepest, hardest, scariest roar. And according to her study, I will trust that Tammy Faye did her work on this, that... As a prey would approach, that the younger lions would circle way out and around until the prey got close to the old lion, and then the old lion would roar. And, of course, any prey would go fleeing and scurrying, which, of course, then they were scurrying straight into the mouth of the young lions. So... her whole teaching was run toward the roar. Don't ever let the roar scare you. I would have to say with Tammy Faye Baker, run toward the roar. Don't allow yourself to be frightened, just as the football player was the other day. He was frightened into this situation and saying, I've praised you 24/7, And he was this situation in his life, him missing this football, literally became a roaring lion to him. And he succumbed to it completely and placed himself and God in an adversarial position based on God's performance. And you see, God didn't just set us free so that we would know he's not judging us based on our performance. I think we can grow in grace enough to know that we don't have a right to judge God based on his performance, that he deserves to be free also from this expectation of performance on his part, regardless of what we do.
And regardless of what the interpretation is of that performance. When we come back, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get more into the webcast, pledge drive. We're going to get more into this whole issue of prayer. We've got a lot of ground to cover, so don't go anywhere. As we return on the Gospel Revolution Radio Network.
Gospel issue number one, sin.
The issue of sin is big. That because of one man's sin, that God took that sin and charged it against everybody's account. We didn't do what Adam did, but we became what Adam was. If Adam is called the first Adam and Jesus is called the last Adam, my mind must remain arrested to this comparison. By one man's sin, all were made sinners, and that by one man's obedience, all have been made righteous. All of you that have believed know that you know that feeling and that sense of relief from sin. You know that feeling very well. My challenge to you is that you could have that every day of your life without ever addressing sin again. Ever.
Any questions? Go to GospelRevolution.com and order Gospel 101 now. Available in singles or discount multi-packs of 10, 25, and 50 CDs. If you don't ask any questions, you're not going to get any answers.
Thank you very much, Robert Moore. Gospel 101, the perfect Christmas or Hanukkah or Kwanzaa or winter solstice gift for that Christian in your life that is wondering what the deal is and who is asking the questions. Some of the people that are that Pastor Ted is dealing with, perhaps. This is Glenn Klein Online. It is Gospel Revolution Wednesday night, number one night of the Fall Pledge Drive. For 2010, we are endeavoring for 21 days now to raise the revenue situation significantly for the Gospel Revolution and Mike Williams Ministries. Our goal is kind of a unique goal this time around, folks. While we are happy and thankful to take one-time gifts, and we have a number of them already, which we're going to be going over, we really are focusing on trying to get folks to participate on a monthly basis. $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. All you do is go to gospelrevolution.com. It's all explained on the homepage. And you have a choice if you contribute at two different levels. If you give $100 to $199 and give at least $10 a month, then you get a choice of two different thank you CDs. If you do both of them, you get a choice of all three. So just go to gospelrevolution.com. It's all explained right on the homepage. Jeff has done such a nice job of articulating it there. You just click on donate, but email us and let us know what you've done so we can include it towards the goal. As we begin night number one, I know that, of course, most of you folks are listening on the archive. By the way, for you people that are listening live right now, and it's about 10 minutes to 10 o'clock on the East Coast of the United States of America, that is your cue to call us. If you've pledged, if you're going to pledge, if you can pledge and you want to ask a question, we want to hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. Sean will take your call. We'll get you on. We need to get this thing rocking and rolling. So get on the phone right now, 1-800-436-3260. Michael, we already have, just about 50 minutes into this thing, $170 towards our goal of $2,800 of monthly contribution. And awesome. We had an anonymous gift come in from the great state of Wisconsin, an anonymous monthly pledge. Billy Thompson, our sweet friend from Wachuca City, Arizona, that's a new monthly pledge. Billy and Jeannie Schultz from Pollock Pines, California, with a new monthly pledge. Dwayne and Mudaku of Saskatoon, Saskatchewan, with a monthly pledge. Carrie and Rita Whiteman from Whitehall, Montana, with a monthly pledge. So all those guys together have contributed monthly now for the next 12 months, $170 a month, extrapolated, of course, over the next 12 months. That is significant. We also have one-time pledges from Pep Washburn of Marshfield, Wisconsin, Dina Morgan from St. Louis Park, Minnesota, Bob Hines from McDonough, Georgia, Todd and Angela Gray from LaPorte City, Louisiana, Arthur and Dagmar Wirch from Brandon, Manitoba, Richard and Pat Solomon from Waukesha, Wisconsin, Tom and Linda Wilby from Fredericton, New Brunswick, the aforementioned Pastor Ted Winsett from Decatur, Alabama, Jerry and Susan Berman from Longwood, Florida, Beverly Galuska from Allen Park, Michigan, and James, the very lovely and talented James and Gail Gustafson from Estevan, Saskatchewan. And so all those folks have made one-time gifts, which we're very grateful for. The previous list were the gifts that are committing Michael to really what we call the lifeblood of this effort, which are the monthly pledges, the people that are given 5, 10, 20, 50, 100 bucks a month. And these are people all over the world. What our goal, Michael, is to get to $2,800 additional monthly pledges during this 21 days. And, I mean, we're off and running. I mean, we're not 10% there yet, but this is a great start.
It definitely is. It's very encouraging. We're very grateful. to have another $170 a month that we can depend on is just that's the focus of this particular pledge drive. The immediate help, of course, is very much exactly what that is. It is immediate help. Do we need it? Oh, yes, we need it. You know, when you've been dragging bottom, you know, after losing 40% of your monthly contributors, you know, you begin to feed off the bottom for a little while. So, yes, immediate is wonderful.
Wait a second. Wait. Are you calling us bottom feeders, dude?
We are bottom feeders right now.
That is unfortunate. That is very unfortunate.
we are righteous and holy bottom feeders, but bottom feeders nonetheless. I hate to constantly turn around and try to. It almost sounds like I'm trying to talk you out of giving, but I'm not.
I know. Wait a second. It does it does sound like that. Damn it!
It does sound like that.
And stop it! Stop it! Stop it! Stop it!
I know it does, but the thing
I
can't tell you that I'm sitting here in misery and sitting here dreading moving to an apartment instead of being in my home. You just got to understand that's not happening.
I know, Michael, but wait a minute. I've been dealing with these people for 12 years. Here's a guy who goes out, travels around the country, around the world, teaching this gospel, and will stand up in a meeting and literally forget to take an offering. and then he'll come back to me and say, well, I forgot. And I went, what do you mean you forgot? Michael, repent. That's what I'm saying to you right now. Repent. It's enough already.
Repaint, you sinner.
Repaint. All right, well, so get on the phone, folks, 1-800-436-3260. It is a huge encouragement where we're at. Jeff's been talking to folks. We got good momentum, but we need to hear from you right now. 1-800-436-3260. If you've made a contribution or a pledge already, get on the phone. We want to hear your voice. We want to hear your accents. We want to hear your heart. If you're going to make a pledge or you have a question, Sean is waiting in the Bay of the Holy Spirit studio to take your call. That's what he's there for. 1-800-436-3260. Let us hear from you and make those pledges. Let's not have to deal with Michael trying to talk you out of giving. We'll just have him stick with the gospel and everything will be just fine. All right, so it's amazing. After the email extravaganza, we had just like this torrent of emails, and we want to get to some of them because I am determined to not get so far behind this time. And this one comes to us from James Gustafson, whose beautiful contribution was just mentioned. And he says, Mike, I've been housebound as I've been recovering from surgery, and I just listened to part two of the Oprah Winfrey show, where the 200 men had come forward to admit that they had been sexually abused when they were children and had reunited with their wives and girlfriends. Through both parts one and two, I could see and hear the pain, and I found myself weeping for and with these men and their significant others. It made me realize that James referring to himself, has been spiritually abused by religion, namely Christianity.
Yeah.
And I do not know what I would do without the gospel. The gospel is doing something in me I can't quite explain, but would make an attempt to try, especially after listening to the series on Romans for the second and third times. I guess that is when I coined the term spiritual abuse, as I've had time to reflect on all the damage religion has done and the need to let the gospel do its work. God, is that perfectly put, James. It seems to be a slow process, but a good one. I enjoy the webcast and have tried to listen to that on a weekly basis. And that's from James Gustafson up there in Estevan, Saskatchewan. And what a perfect way of putting that, Michael. Let the gospel do its work. What you said recently, it's work that is stealthy. It's a stealthy gospel. Mm-hmm.
Definitely is, and this is the type of response back to me that is so very encouraging, because I'm not looking for this to somebody say, boy, I heard the gospel and I suddenly stopped cursing, I stopped drinking, this is the power of the gospel, is to is to begin to run as, and of course I didn't coin the phrase the stealthiness of the gospel. Our good friend did that. I think it's Robert. If I'm not given proper credit there, somebody can correct me. But who wrote a poem about this? But it is very true. The letting the gospel do its work is a very powerful way of putting this. Because you don't have to work the gospel. The gospel and the heart were designed to be together forever. The gospel, the heart without the gospel, is literally like not having a mate, and the proper mate, the proper helpmate, if you will. But God has created a new heart and has given that heart the perfect helpmate. And has forever deemed that these two should never ever be parted. That what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And that really is what we're doing here, is trying to help people to not put asunder the gospel that God Himself has given us this helpmeet called the gospel. And this new creation, this brand new heart, and has said, now I have created a helpmeet. I not only have created you, I have created a helpmeet for you. And no, I've never even thought in these terms before, but it certainly is encouraging me at the moment. But that the gospel really is the helpmeet of this new creation. God created man in the garden and then said it's not good for man to live alone, and therefore he created a helpmeet for him. And God recreated all of us, and that is male and female. We're all created as one in Christ, and it stands to reason that God would also give that new creation a helpmeet. That helpmeet, I believe, is the gospel, and that what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And this is the stand for the defense of the gospel that has been my life's commitment, is to just like what we were talking about, you know, this whole issue of the devil. You see, what the devil is, if there is a devil, I don't know if this is a term describing a frame of mind or an individual. It's irrelevant. He is defeated and remains so even in our minds as long as we stay out from under the law. The number one force that would try to get us separated, to cause a divorce, if you will, from the heart, from the gospel, the only thing that would that could cause that is to fall back into the state of fornication with the law. You can't fornicate with the law. This is not something that is going to help the healthiness of the relationship of the gospel, your helpmeet, to this new creation, your heart, all of us collectively, one individual, including God himself. But the gospel is literally the helpmeet that is here and is constantly going to be there with us. And I think there's so much here for type and shadows of fornication, and to not step into this fornication against this helpmate that we have been given. The only way that you can offend the grace of God, if the grace of God is that helpmate, please be sure and get that series that I just completed, Don't Offend the Grace of God. If indeed there's anything true to this analogy that I'm giving, you don't want to offend the gospel. You just don't want to do that. And it's not that the gospel is going to get mad then leave. It's that offense is keeping you from seeing and understanding the joint effort. The joint effort, you don't have a bad heart needing a good gospel. You don't have a good heart needing a bad religion. You have a perfect heart that is in need of a perfect gospel. And the perfect heart that is created by God has been given a perfect gospel. Together, they work in tandem. Together, the gospel in the heart grows. It expands. It includes. It understands. It thrives. It loves. It continues to embrace more. It understands all things. It embraces all things. It holds nothing against anybody. When this union of love, this absolute perfect love between the new creation, the perfect new creation, that brand new perfect heart that God has given the entire human race, and this perfect gospel, the only thing keeping them apart, you must understand, the only thing keeping them apart is religion. There is no religion that is going to join the gospel to the heart. The gospel and the heart go together. The only thing that alienates the heart from the gospel is legalism. It is the only devil out there. It is the only Satan you'll ever have to deal with is legalism. It is the only thing that's ever going to try to divide. Nothing else has a vested interest in dividing your heart from the gospel. Nothing else has a vested interest in dividing your heart from the gospel except the very thing that you're selling your life out to. Don't sell your life out to the very thing that is prostituting your life to a lower form of existence on this planet. Your heart was made for the gospel. The gospel was made for your heart. Let them lie together. Let them come together. Let them be together. Let them grow together. Let them be one.
Wow. That is absolutely phenomenal. It seems almost oxymoron, or it sounds like an oxymoron to say, let the gospel and the heart be one, when we are already one with God.
Yes.
But legalism and self-righteousness can prohibit the gospel, mm-hmm. the power of God, from having its way with the human mind, with the soul. It can stop the salvation process. What a shame that is. This is Glenn Klein Online. We are going to get into this deeper, as we always do. We want to take your calls tonight on night number one of the pledge drive. Appreciate hearing from Pastor Ted, but we need to hear from you at a few minutes after 10 o'clock on the east coast of the U.S. Give us a call, 1-800-436-3260. We do go overtime on the pledge drive, so this is your opportunity. We really are asking, if you're listening live right now, and we understand, folks, that most of the people do listen on the archive and respond via email and whatnot, but if you're listening live and you've got a little inclination to pick up the phone, we want to hear from you. We're asking you to call. Whether you have a pledge or even if you don't have a question, it doesn't make a difference. We just want to hear your heart, your insight, your wisdom. Let us hear from you. 1-800-436-3260. This is night number one of the 21-day fall pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution. Our goal this time is to hit $2,800 in new monthly pledges. We're at $170 so far. I want to thank everybody that's given to the monthly pledge drive as well as one-time gifts. Things are happening. We need you to be involved right now. 1-800-436-3260. Michael, our buddy Jackie Bernard wrote another poem, and I've got to read it. It's so, of course, it's about the gospel, so it's perfectly in line with what you were just talking about. It's called Shadow of Law, Light of God. Shadow of law, not the substance, as a solid burden to cloud the mind and stoop the soul. False master, curtain of fear, illusion of disaster that binds and binds men here. Come, phantom rule, we will sell our souls to the narcotic of regulation that addicts, and we will play the role and dance upon your strings. We will not have this man, our preference to the band, clinging to the ten in stone, rejecting as the builders the one who makes us free, bowing to the will of sightless majority. Irony of men, self-righteous, yet self-condemning, blind and groping in the darkness, well of hope, they cannot see, paralyzed and lost, in fear and trembling, devoted to defending their lack of sight, lend their strength to the strength of darkness, letters of wrong and right, lauding Moses while unaware the lawgiver brings the suit against them, his morals full of death that stings, welcome enterprise of freedom, resurrection liberty, no longer captive to the darkness from bonds of night, now set free. Christ, the light of every bosom, floods the earth, wave on wave. God declares the war is over by his words of peace and grace. God indwells his new creation, lighting every man that is born. Come, let's tell the blessed story. The veil that kept the way is torn. That's powerful.
Oh, that's
Jackie.
A big hallelujah.
Yeah, and then he says, Michael and Glenn, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. I put down these lines as they came to me. I do not dare to say that the grammar and punctuation are near correct. Just wanted to share some thoughts with you guys. Love you, Jackie Bernard. Oh,
well,
fantastic. You know, and by the way, the creativity, the arts that are manifested, the influence of the gospel that we see in film and music, Kate Benham's new release that you can find on Kate's Facebook, and just there's so much influence of the gospel in society, Michael. We just don't see it very much in Christianity, and we're never going to see it in Christianity, because for somebody to be influenced and start speaking out in favor of the gospel, they are going to be excommunicated. They're going to be kicked out. They're going to be ostracized. That's the nature of things.
You know, the arts are, of course, they are called arts because they are gifts. And the gifts, any gift is inexorably attached to the gospel. That's why when you see people truly freely, without the influence of religion, expressing their artistic gift, it's always, always, always going to preach the gospel to us. Now, the sad thing is seeing people's gifts tangled up in legalism and seeing the mess that comes out of that. But when you have a society where that whether it is whatever talent, whatever it is, when it begins to express the freeness of the gospel, you know that gifts and of itself and gospel are just together. They just are. I get much more excited about a song that comes along, or a play, or a poem. Goodness, and even from artists that have absolutely no inclination about gospel. I mean, you know, I can watch The Lion King and see the gospel all the way through it. Dead Poets Society, one of my all-time favorite movies, is just absolutely fraught with the gospel from beginning to end, with no attempt to it being any spiritual a piece of work whatsoever. But we do, and I think Paul said that even nature itself could help us to understand these things if we just watched. So the gospel is not a foreign power to the heart. The gospel is the only thing that matches the heart perfectly. It matches the heart perfectly. I believe the knowledge of that, of the gospel, is intuitive to the heart upon conception into this life. I believe that there is an intuitive knowledge, and it's kind of like somebody describing meeting the love of their life. And I have had so many people, how many times have I shared the gospel with people, and they almost without exception say, somehow I always knew that. Somehow I always knew that. And it is true, and it's not untrue that your heart has always known the truth. It is just letting these words come in and letting the brain begin to exercise itself in the truth of the gospel, away from legalism, and finding the way of the heart, the way of following the heart, the way of allowing the heart to grow, finding out about your own heart. It is a powerful way to exist on this planet, and we have, to borrow Karen Carpenter, we have only just begun. I truly believe that. If this is the if I were to compare this to the New World, I wouldn't even say the ships have landed on the shore yet of the new territory. to bring about this incredible revolution. But you know what? I'm just glad to be on the boat and to be a part of the group of people who are willing to stake their lives on something that is not just for their own benefit, but for the benefit of everyone that they know that will come after.
We've only just begun to live. I need Ambergy to call me so that he can sing instead of me.
Yes, Jesus, please.
You know, Karen Carpenter, man, I mean, of course, she died prematurely of anorexia. That was a pretty good indication that she did not understand her righteousness in Christ fully.
Yeah.
And, folks, all the stuff that we deal with, all the aberrant behavior, however you'd want to term aberrant behavior, the destructive stuff, the illogical stuff, the obsessive behavior that drives people, is part of this not understanding that this helpmeet has been given to us. What a powerful new understanding that came just on this Gospel Revolution webcast. It's number one night of the pledge drive for the Gospel Revolution Fall 2010 pledge drive. We need your help, folks. We want you to give us a call, 1-800-436-3260. We still got about 10 minutes left on this effort. We're going to take your calls right up until that. If we go a little bit over, so be it. 1-800-436-3260. All you do is go to gospelrevolution.com. It's all explained there. We're trying to raise $2,800. $2,800. I know it doesn't sound like much, but, and with you guys doing what you can do, we'll get there. But we're trying to raise $2,800 in monthly pledges. If you can't pledge 5 or 10 or 20 bucks a month, we're more than happy. We're very grateful to receive your one-time gifts. And as we went ahead earlier and listed all the folks that have made one-time contributions, we're so thankful for that. But what we're really pushing for, what we're really pressing for, what we're really having as a goal in mind is this monthly concept of just $5 a month, $10 a month. It's only, you know, if you can do without a couple cups of coffee a week, you'll get there to help us. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. There is a huge list, a menu of CD, thank you CDs that you can choose from. If you give a one-time gift of $100 or more, or if you give a gift of $10 or more a month, and if you do both, you get to pick three teaching CDs. It's all available at gospelrevolution.com. Michael, we got a $25 gift in from Bob Hines of McDonough, Georgia. This is on top of Bob's quarterly giving that he is already doing. Thank you very much, Brother Bob.
Yes.
From Georgia.
Thank you, Bob.
And you will not be surprised to learn that we have a new challenge from Richard Moe of beautiful Southern California. He has a pledge for the next $200 that is pledged. Richard will match it dollar for dollar. So we've got 9 minutes now or thereabouts to get that in. We need to hear from you and maximize this pledge challenge from Richard Mull. Richard will match dollar for dollar for every gift that is given up to $200 right now. So we need to hear from you. If you don't want to call, email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com, webcast@gospelrevolution.com. Let us know what you can do. Richard will match it up to $200. Webcast@gospelrevolution.com or get on the phone, 1-800-436-3260, 1-800-436-3260. Sean is still waiting patiently in studio to take your call. So let us hear from you, 1-800-436-3260. Let's get back to some more emails as I am determined to continue down that path. You will not be surprised, Michael, that before the pledge drive started, we got a donation from our boy David Johnson in beautiful Illinois, $60.20. Much appreciated, David. It's I don't even know if the guy listens. He is just the most consistent giver. Sometimes it's $60.20. Sometimes it's $2.60. You never know. But every time David Johnson's name shows up on the screen on the computer, it thrills my heart, Michael.
Yeah, it is. It's a delight, and it's like you say. It's never the amount. It's just the fact that, you know, somebody asked me one time. I will share this at this point. That you might say, well, why does that thrill you? Even if it's, I mean, we've had less than $2 from David at any given time. Why does that thrill you? You know, I was in Canada and I was teaching on love, and we were discussing, it was actually during the question and answer time, which many times lasts way longer than the teaching. And during this, I had talked about the issue of love and that not everybody receives love in exactly the same way. Some people, security is what makes them feel loved. Some people, it's doing little things for them that makes them feel loved. There's just so many reasons, and if you're going to love somebody, you need to find out what makes them feel loved, because most of us do for others what we would make us feel loved, and we're totally missing it altogether. So we talked about this, and one of those folks in Canada raised their hands. It's been a few years ago, and they asked me, and said, well, Mike, what makes you feel loved? And I was absolutely taken aback by the question. It was just, I had never thought about what makes me feel loved. But without hesitation, it popped right up out of my heart, which is the best place to get information about what makes you feel loved. And the thing that came out of my mouth immediately, Glenn, was I said, to be in your thoughts. I said, there is nothing that makes me know that I'm loved more than to know that I'm in your thoughts, even when I'm not in your presence. And so that really is true. People could give millions, and it would not exceed or replace the fulfillment of feeling loved by people because I know they think about me. That is just so powerful to me, to occupy someone's thoughts. What an amazing thing that someone would allow my existence to occupy their thoughts and their mind and their heart. That's just
right, and that is why
what we see when we see David Johnson's
exactly. That's why
little
right,
gifts
no
come
matter
in.
What the right, well, no matter what the amount is, and this is true for everybody. But David, for some unbeknownst reason, he fires away about every 3 or 4 or 5 days. We get a reminder that he's thinking of us. It's fantastic.
He is thinking about us.
He's thinking about us, and he's tremendous. I mean, him and his brother Scott in Alaska. All right, so we got a few minutes left, and speaking of Dead Poets Society, let us go to the Gospel Revolution Poet Laureate that is online with us. We just read his poem, and we're so honored to have Jackie Bernard on with us. Jackie!
Hey, guys.
Hey, Jackie.
Hey. Guys, as usual, I'm at work, so I will try to say this briefly. I'm just so thankful that the gospel is going out. And I'm glad that God did not include anyone but himself and his son in the plan, the formulation, and the carrying out of the gospel of redemption. I have found that the gospel delivers all those things that church religion promises that are empty promises they can't deliver. I found that the gospel is, I've come to an understanding, to a certain point anyway, that that the gospel is that fountain, that river of water in your belly that springs up in everlasting life. Kate sings about that so well. The gospel is life. It's what life is intended to be. Mike's analogy of the marriage of the gospel and the soul is that needs to be written in the annals of history. That's profound, Mike, and thank you. But that's what the gospel does. It gives you that that intuitiveness that allows you to say things that, hey, I didn't plan to say that, but that sounded good.
Well, Jackie, that was so powerful. And you know how people, when they get married or when they meet somebody and they say, you complete me?
Yeah.
That's not true. That is setting that other person up for a fall. Because there is no way that a person that is already complete through God can be completed more, number one. I'm not saying that people don't love each other and don't have an incredible connection and chemistry and all that. But the truth is that the gospel is the thing that completes us. The gospel is our helpmate. And what, I mean, you are right, bro. I mean, that was some powerful stuff that came out tonight. You're just logging on now, folks. Go back and listen to the archive when Sean gets it up later, because, I mean, isn't it amazing, Jackie? It's kind of like a poem. I mean, it's like this new stuff comes out. It's inspiration. It comes out from, as you said in your letter that we just wrote, the power of God. It's profound, bro. It's profound.
It is so inspirational. The gospel gets in you and it occupies you. It sneaks up on you sometimes. It's like it's creeping into the recesses of your soul, and then it reveals itself, and it's just so beautiful. It's intriguing. It's what love really is, and I appreciate you guys, and I really do have to get back to work. But thank you for reading my letter.
Listen, keep writing, bro. Anytime you feel led, let us hear from you. What time's your shift till?
4 p.m. until 2:30 a.m.
All right. Well, just about the time that you're getting off, I'll be getting up, because my shift starts at 6 o'clock tomorrow morning. So we'll be crossing paths.
Okay.
Love you, Jackie.
You guys take care. Thank you for letting me share, and thank you for continuing the good work. We'll see you.
Thanks.
Bye, Jackie. Here's Jackie Bernard. Oh my God. It is fantastic.
Yeah.
You all right?
It is,
bro.
Yeah. I'm definitely verklempt for sure. I don't know what to say. I'm sorry. I have nothing to say.
Well, you said it. You said enough tonight. All right. So here's the deal, folks. This ends round number one. We've got 3 rounds, 21 days of the Fall Pledge Drive. Just go to gospelrevolution.com. It's all explained there. Do your best. We're getting after $2,800 in monthly pledges. If you can do a monthly, do it. If you can do a one-time gift, do it. If you can do both, do that. And all the thank you gifts are on there. We'll get those out to you quickly. Whatever you do, email us at webcast@gospelrevolution.com with your name, the amount that you pledge, the gifts that you want, and your shipping address, so that Jeff can get out the thank you CDs post-haste. We want to thank Jeff Robertson for doing everything that he's doing for the Gospel Revolution. want to thank all of our givers, both the monthly pledge givers and the one-time donators. We're going to get Richard Mull's permission to extend his $200 challenge to the next $200 that comes in. Michael, thank you. Get some sleep. And thanks to Sean O'Halloran for being the extreme committed gospel revolutionary that he is. Thank you, folks. We will do it in 1 week's time. Let us hear from you this week, all right? It's Glenn Klein Online saying, Happy Hanukkah, everybody!